Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, thanks so much for tuning in and sharing your time with us tonight. This is DSMA Live. DSMA stands for Diabetes Social Media Advocacy and is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. We're all about empowering, connecting, supporting, and educating those who live with diabetes. Tune in every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern at dsmalive.org. Our show is recorded live, and tonight is Thursday, May 14th, 2015. We'd love to hear from anybody out there listening tonight. Our call-in number, is 760-283-5150. Again, that number is 760-283-5150. My name is George. I'm one of the co-hosts. I'm joining our founder and creator of DSMA, Charisse Schott. Our other co-host is, he might be hopping in later, but we'll see. If not, he's got the night off. So it's just Charisse and I tonight. Charisse, how you doing?
I am doing well. I just wanted to tell you that you really did a great job with that intro, because if I would have did it, it would not have been as good, because I am not a scripted person at all whatsoever. Scripts make me completely nervous. So thank you, George, for doing such a great job following the script. And Scott would be proud.
I hope so, because I am one that I need a script for things like that, because I undoubtedly forget things, and I still stumbled over a phone number maybe in there. But, you know, that's how it goes.
Oh,
but,
well,
yeah,
I think you did pretty good, but you know what, though? You the outro. You handle the closing like a pro.
That's typically the spot that I handle, so it's all good.
But we balance each other out.
That's it. I know, that's why, and even when Scott's not here, the spirit of Scott is always with us, so, you know, it always feels well-balanced.
Definitely. So, how is your week going so far?
So far, it's been fine. Work's been a little rough, but as far as the stuff that really matters, life is okay. I have no complaints. My blood sugars have been pretty good, and so that's nice. I got a story for you. So I've been, I have a lot of issues with my Dexcom, my CGM, my pump, even my pump set's fallen off of me. I guess I'm just not, I don't know if I'm just, the way my skin is, whatever it is, they just don't, I have an issue with the adhesive not holding very well. So I've tried using different things, Tegaderm, and those don't seem to work really well. My doctor gave me some of Skin Tack preps. Have you ever used Skin Tack?
No, I've used the Flex, OptiSight Flex, whatever it's called.
Right, it's like the tape stuff. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like an IV prep. So it's like an alcohol kind of base, you know, so it cleans, but it also makes like a really sticky, makes your skin really sticky. So my doctor said, try these, see what you think, but just know that like your fingers can get stuck together. Like it's that tacky. So I tried it. I put my Dexcom on, and that thing was like cemented to my body. Like it was awesome. Okay. So it was great, except that like I put it on. It was like in the morning, everything was, I felt like, wow, this thing is on there like crazy tight. And I had to wash my hands because my fingers were getting stuck together, you know? And so I go to put my shoes on, and I bend down to pick up my shoe, and oh my gosh, it hurt. My side hurts so bad because my Dexcom's kind of a little bit on my side of my abdomen. It felt like, because the way the tape was, it was just like yanking at my skin. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, well. So I kind of, you know, went a little bit slower when I went to put my shoes on and everything. So fast forward to about a week and a half later when it starts to finally start coming off, okay? So here goes the sensor. When I finally take the sensor off, there are patches of my skin that were just torn off. I have these, like, it was so, it just, I think when I bent down that initially, it tore my skin. So there's like these the corners of my of where the adhesive was, and now I have all, I'm all scabbed up on my side because this thing just it tore my skin off. That's how tight. That's how you know the adhesive is so strong. It was way scary. And it hurts.
Wow.
I mean, still, yeah. So it's like it did the job, you know, but I don't know that I want to be having my skin come off every week.
Did you keep that on for more than 7 days?
Yeah, I did. But it was that initial, that first day was when it must have happened because it just, that's when I felt the pain. I never felt any pain after that. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I
got
to figure something out.
How long did you end up keeping it on?
It was just over a week. It was probably, I don't know, 10, 11 days. But before, I mean, I'd lose them in a week. So it's kind of frustrating.
And even the tape stuff doesn't work either?
No. No, it drives me nuts. And now I've been frustrated with my pump because I'm using a new pump. And the infusion sets, the adhesive is a lot smaller than what I was used to with my old pump. And if I do any sort of activity, if I exercise, if I'm running around, any kind of sweat at all, and it's just they fall right out. It drives me nuts. It's like I don't know what to do. So I'm not sure where. If anyone has any ideas, let me know.
I was gonna say, maybe you should think of your own home remedy. But that's crazy though, because so the adhesives to your infusion sets don't work.
Right. It's my skin.
So is it the same day it comes off?
It'll be if it's the same day, and like I was working in the garage, I put an infusion set on in the morning, and then I was working in my garage. Just nothing crazy. Like it didn't get pulled out. It's just because I was sweating. It's just like adhesive just bloop, just falls off me. Like it's nothing.
Is it like when you play Plinko at the Price is Right, how it just goes?
That's what it looks like. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's what it's like. I mean, it just falls right off, and it's really frustrating because it's expensive, and I don't want to have to go through the whole process of putting another set in. I mean, it's a time, you know, a time drain. It's just I'm getting really frustrated with just the way that nothing's they stuck to me. I don't know. So anyway.
So let me ask you this: what makes you more upset when you lose the CGM sensor, or when you lose the sight?
Oh, the CGM sensor, because it cost me a lot more money. It's a lot more money for my CGM sensors than it's for my pump sights. But I mean, they're both frustrating. But yeah, you know, the CGMs. I can see the dollars fall, you know, when it falls off, I see the money fall down with it. It's like, oh man. But, so it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I was just
trying to figure out something to do.
Cause if you use, you know what? I don't know what else you could possibly use because I mean, the skin tech's supposed to be the best stuff out there. I mean, and obviously it works. It just works. What if you don't apply a lot? So like, here's the deal, right? So I don't know who told me this trick, but someone told me that what they do is instead of applying the skin tact when they first put it on, they apply it once it starts pulling. So once it starts pulling off your skin, put it on.
Right.
So then that way it's already worn and your skin's already used to it being there, that you just put it around those edges versus putting it on the whole thing.
That's a good idea. That's I got to try that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I don't know who I thought that was
yet.
A clever idea because, I mean, if you think about it, it's going to go, a sensor is going to stick on you. Well, for me, it sticks on for about 4 or 5 days. So then at that fifth day, instead of, you know, because I hate dealing with the tape, so I might actually get some skin tack and just put it just around the edges where it's needed versus putting it around the whole thing because you don't need it for the entire set because once you stick it on and it starts pulling up, you can just slide it under there and then bam, there it goes.
Yeah.
Or should I say, whoop, there it is.
There it is. Yeah, that's actually, that's a, that's a great idea because, man, that was like cement I put the thing to me. And, you know, my thought was maybe I should not put it near the side of my stomach. You know, I tried to move it on my abdomen because I just, you know, I've got so many, you know, after 20-something years of all these shots and stuff, you know, you want to move stuff around. You know, I just started thinking, well, maybe I won't do it on the side anymore because then, you know, you twist a lot and that was pulling a lot and it hurt. But I like that idea because that skin tack is great. But you're right. Maybe I wait till it starts pulling up a little bit and just put it on right there, you know, or at the sides that are coming up. That's a great idea. That's what I'll try.
I was going to say, or you might want to use it, try it on your leg. Do you put your CGM on your leg at all, your thigh?
I have, I noticed that I, just like my arm, I noticed that my, it seems to be a lot less accurate. That's the reason why I stick with my stomach, because I tried doing my arm.
Really?
And I noticed that it's like, the numbers are way wacky for whatever reason, but my stomach seems to be best, so I just stick with what works.
It's because you're special.
Isn't that weird? I am.
You're special.
Something like that. I'm not sure. Yeah. So how about you?
I think that's
what
it is.
It could be. It could be. But how are you, Sharice? How was your week?
You know, so Mother's Day was Sunday, right? So my husband received a call at like 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday saying that my brother-in-law was in a serious, bad motorcycle accident. So... Needless to say, you know, my husband had to fly out to Alabama to be with his brother. So it's been kind of crazy. The good thing is, which is a blessing, he is responding. I think it's just taking his mind a while to process. Luckily, he was wearing a helmet, and the helmet was cracked in half.
Wow.
The amazing thing is that he has no scratch on his body or anything. The only issue is that his skull is fractured. So,
wow.
So he's doing better, which is good. So that's how. And then of course, you know, tomorrow's my Friday, so I'm really excited about that. Just trying to think of different ways to do different things, if that makes sense. And
yeah.
I started class again because I took a break, and I'm back in. Have a new class, which is actually you would like the class, I think, because it's music and art appreciation.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds like fun.
But it's different, though. So I'm sitting here, and I'm really, like, loving this classical music, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here,
right.
Because usually I do my homework to gospel music. But I was like,
mm-hmm.
Maybe the gospel music is stimulating too much. It's making me think too many, like, serious and emotional thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Classical music just is soothing.
Right.
And it's funny because you can, like, hear, like, the intensity. You can tell, like, when it's calm and then when it goes. So
yeah.
Now I'm a fan of classical music. Now the art side of it, I mean, what these people in the book see, I don't see. So it makes it a little bit difficult. Because I'm like, you see, you know, a red tomato, I see a green tomato. I don't get it. So to be honest with you, I am so thankful that we have Google, because if I didn't have Google, the books doesn't make sense to me. So I have to go read, like, different people's blog posts about this artwork to put
right.
things together and to process it, because it doesn't make sense to me in the book.
Yeah. Now, the thing about, I mean, they say, you know, art, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, like with art, it's kind of the same way. And sometimes you look at things and I don't get it, you know. And I like going to art museums. But I'm very particular about the kind and type of art that I enjoy, you know. I mean, there's so many styles and stuff that I appreciate them, but I don't really get them, you know. That, like, people with a, you know, that for me, the music part of it, I would love that. Just being, you know, being a musician and playing, you know, in the symphonic band in school, and so being able to play in an orchestra, and so you, all those little nuances, the different instruments and the dynamics and the time changes, and oh my gosh, I love it all. And it can kind of do, like, it can be soothing, but it can also, stuff that the gospel music does to you too. Like, I mean, it can spark ideas and emotion and feelings and all kinds of cool stuff. Like, it's just, I'm a big music fan, and I do enjoy art too some, but I think I would, like you, I would like the music side of that class a little bit more, but I still think that sounds super fun.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. It's a little difficult because it's online. So, like, the other night, I was sitting there, and I had to listen to some music, and I'm like, you know what? This is getting me really excited and hyper, so I probably should shut this off and go to bed. Because if I would have kept going, like, seriously, the thoughts were, like, racing in my head on, oh, I could be doing this, or I could do that, or I can do this. But see, the problem is that I have so many thoughts. Like, I can never shut it off. Like, I really try to, but I can't. I even try to, like, write them in a journal, but I can't. It's like if I'm passionate about something. You know what? I'm one of those people that can sit in a room and listen to people talk, and then the ideas just come.
Right.
Or it's like, oh, well, maybe you could be doing this better, or, hey, have you thought about doing that? And it's hard. Like, I can't have a conversation or be in a room without thinking, That's hard.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. We need people like you in the world, especially in the diabetes world, you know? If you're constantly, you know, you're the kind of person that you hear, your wheels are always turning, and you hear a problem, and your brain starts thinking, how can I fix it? Where is there a solution? Your adhesive is too much. Well, maybe you should just put it on after the fact. You don't need it at the beginning. Like that, like, I could see the wheels turning when there's an issue. So, I mean, that is exactly what the world needs, you know, are people like that. That's a good thing. As frustrating as it can be, it's good for all of us who don't do that and who can benefit from your great ideas. So thank you for your thought-producing brain. It's good. Your idea-producing brain.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being a part of the shenanigans that sometimes comes to be. Hey, you know what? Speaking of, this is like a good week for the diabetes online community, right? It's D-Blog
week. Why? That's right. D-Blog week. Charisse, what's that?
Diabetes Blog Week was created by our good friend, and I like to call her my sister, Karen Graffio. And basically what it is a week of nothing but diabetes talk, and she provides 7 prompts, and you talk about those prompts. And it's not just you, it's the people in the community coming together to write blogs, which is kind of cool because, like you and a few other people that really don't blog as much as they used to, I'm starting to see them blog and participate in D-Blog Week. So I noticed that you participated in D-Blog Week. So, I mean, have you found any new blogs?
Yeah, I have. I've looked at some of them and read through some of them. I still have a ton more to do, but it's great because I've got, like, my reading list, you know. I can go back to each week, each daily prompt and read through them because there's a list on there. Everyone posts their particular post for that day on a list on Karen's site at Bittersweet. BittersweetDiabetes.com, that's it. So at BittersweetDiabetes.com, Karen's got a list of all of the posts for each prompt. So it's great because you can click through and you can read and find all these great blogs and the prompts are great. I mean, that's, you know, and you said, like, though, you know, those of us that don't write as often or anybody really, sometimes it's difficult to come up with what idea to write about, or you don't want to write about the same thing, or frankly, diabetes is pretty exhausting already. I don't know that I want to focus on it again today, let's say. But to have some prompts that, you know, everybody's going to do, you know, it's like you're joining in on the fun. It feels a little bit more, I mean, it is a community thing. So it makes it a lot of fun. And I've really enjoyed it. I love Karen's great. This is her 6th year doing it, which is just awesome. And I know she's been on the show before, but when she started this thing, I don't think she had any idea that it would be kind of take off the way that it did. And for me, it's like a great kickstart and It's a lot of fun. I'm having a good time. So far this week, I've participated every single day, which I'm very happy about. But should we let's talk about some of these? You know, we can talk about the first one. If you kind of want to go through them.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll let you take the lead on it because yesterday I did this during DSMH chat, and it's crazy because like some of the responses, especially on day number coming clean or clean it out or clean out.
Yep. Yeah, that was Wednesday.
That one right there was like, no, that one and keep it to yourself. Those two right there had some stuff coming out where people yesterday, some people didn't want to talk about depression. Some people didn't want to talk. Yeah, so that right there. Okay, so I'll let you go because, you know, I'll take
you somewhere else. No, that's all right. So the other kind of cool thing about the topics is that Karen kind of reaches out to the community for ideas and suggestions. So the first topic for Monday was I can. And so the idea was to look at the positive side of our lives with diabetes. You know, what have you accomplished despite having diabetes? What did you do that maybe you thought you couldn't do? What have you done that you're particularly proud of? Or what good thing has diabetes brought into your life? So that was so Charisse, I'll throw that out to you. Like, what would be your I can thing, or what's something that that maybe would? Did you buy for this one or no?
I didn't. Because of life happening, I didn't actually physically.
Oh, no. Okay.
I had good intentions. So
sure.
For me, I would say my I can. Would probably, I mean, I knew I had a voice before diabetes, but being around the diabetes community and, you know, going to different events has kind of made me realize that I had a voice. Like, the quiet, timid Charisse kind of left the building like 8 years ago, you know, and that's because I was fed up. And to be able to, you know, be blessed and be amongst, you know, people like yourself and other people with diabetes, I mean, to me, it kind of let me know that I can do anything that I want to do. I mean, I would say that. What about you?
Well, the first thing I always think about is when I rode the Tour de Cure. That was a big deal for me because I'd never done any sort of like physical challenge like that. So that was pretty amazing. But you know, I mean, I think, some of the things that I put on my blog at least was, you know, writing a song about diabetes and recording it and, you know, that was kind of cool. And, which, you know, I don't know that I would have done without diabetes. How about making a music video? Hello, like a music parody video PSA with none other than Charisse Shockley by my side. We're singing All the Diabetics, which was our parody video. Look for it on YouTube.
We need to do another one.
We do need to do another one. That was a lot of fun, though. That was a lot of fun. But, you know, meeting all these people, like you said, I mean, just finding out that I have a voice and that I have a place to share with others, learn from others, feel community, be there for one another and stuff. I mean, I think that's been the greatest thing is having a community and meeting great people that are family to me now, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I wrote on my, on my blog, and I hate to do this, but I wrote that having diabetes did not make this stuff possible, but the fight against diabetes helped spark the flame that brought these things to light. And I think like that's the thing. It's like I'm not thankful for my diabetes. I'm just thankful for all the blessings that came out of it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I'm thankful for that all of these great things came out of something as messed up as diabetes, but. Diabetes, I'm still not cool with, you know, but I see that through all of this, all of this, the trials and the frustrations with diabetes, some good stuff has come out of it. So, you know.
I definitely agree. I was about to say, it's pretty amazing, right? Like, when you, there's so many different ways that you can answer that question. I mean, you could take it from, you know, community-wise. You can take it from, you know, look, exercise. I mean, physically. I mean, it's so many different things. But you know what, though? When I sit and listen and I kind of rewind and look back at this journey, to me, it's helped me find my purpose, right? You know, some people mm-hmm. go through their whole life wondering, you know, what they're supposed to do in life. And I believe that my purpose in life is to help people with diabetes or chronic conditions to know that they're not alone, but to fight for, you know, good health and well-being. I mean, I think that's what it is. I really believe that's what my purpose is. And no matter what I try to do to run from it, it just keeps coming right behind me. And I think that that's what diabetes, I know I probably would have found that purpose without diabetes, but I think diabetes has allowed me to see it a lot faster.
Yeah, and I think that's a good sign, too. When you try to get away or try to, you know, say, well, I'm going to hang it up. I'm not going to do this. I don't have time for this. Somehow, some way, something happens that gets it going again, you know, and that's how you know that it must be right, because even if you try to stop, God just got is working through you, so you have no choice.
Right. It's kind of like Scott used to always say, remember, God has a funny way of making us laugh.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure.
So we can stay on this question all night. Let's go with day two.
I know. Well, let's go to the next one. So Tuesday's topic was keep it to yourself. And so, you know, when we blog, we all kind of share. And this is the other thing, too, I should say. Not everybody is a blogger that's a part of this thing. I know some people write on 2Diabetes, or maybe they start up a blog just to get involved. So, you know, not everybody's a blogger, but you can still be a part of it, too. So make sure you check it out if you're interested. But anyhow, so we all share our stuff online, but this idea or this prompt is really about what are the things that maybe we keep private, stuff we keep from the internet, and we're not at. And it really wasn't a point to try to get people to spill their guts about things they're not supposed to talk about, but just kind of, you know, what are the things that you want to keep private, you know, or you don't want your family or friends to know about, and why are those topics or things important for you to keep to yourself? So that was the focus on this one, keep it to yourself. Now, for me, I got to learn how to do a little bit better, because this is really difficult for me since I feel like I share everything. And I think sometimes that may be difficult for especially my family, because I am willing to write about my depression and my fears. And I know for my family, it's hard for them to read that when they know I was typing that the night before, feeling a certain way that I just wasn't able to express verbally, but I could get out on my blog. And so that's one thing that I think about, but it's so important to me to share all of my life in hopes that other people that may be feeling the same way can feel connected and not feel alone. If that makes me, if I have to share something that's revealing, something that's, you know, embarrassing, something that's funny or makes me look like an idiot, I would rather do that if it meant that one other person in the world didn't feel alone because they identified with it. Like, it's worth it for me to be put through that or to feel that way, you know, for that short period of time, to know that someone else may be feeling better about their situation. So for me, it's not keeping it to myself, something I don't necessarily do, but I think I'm sure there are some topics that I probably should do that about, but I just don't. I'm just an open book, and it's dangerous sometimes. What about you, Sharice? What do you think about this, the keep it to yourself?
I think for me, so actually I have to go back, because on Twitter, I posted my questions on Twitter last night. So one of the things that I said that I do not share online is my pump settings, so like my insulin, the carb ratio, and all that information, because to me, I don't want anybody to try to mimic anything that I have in my pump, not that anybody would, but just to be on the safe side. And then secondly, I don't want anybody to say, hey, will you take that much insulin? Oh, my gosh, that's a lot of insulin. So I kind of stay away from that conversation. I kind of keep that to myself. Another yeah. thing that I do keep that I used to be very good at sharing, and that was my A1Cs. And the reason why I stopped sharing is because it doesn't tell the whole story. So I may have an A1C that's 6.2, but it doesn't really tell. I mean, it's good medically. I mean, of course, by ADA guidelines. But to me, there's always something underlying. Did I have a lot of lows or whatever? So I don't want anyone, I'd rather tell you my story, myself, and not have that. I don't, the facts are the facts and the data is the data. So the A1C is just data. It doesn't tell the whole story. So I'm not going to share one number with you every 3 months in hopes to tell you that, oh, okay, well, she had a 6.3, so her diabetes must be well controlled. No, wrong answer. So I'd rather I keep that to myself now. And another thing, too, that I'm starting to keep more private that I wish I would have did, I wish I would have kept my daughter's name private. I wish I would have had a pet name for her because I think that, you know, her life is separate than my life, from my life. And even though she's a part of it, I just wish that I probably would have kept that stuff, excuse me, but I'm doing better mm-hmm. with it now. But that's another thing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you mentioned some of that stuff. I guess I've just never, there's some things I have not shared, but I haven't really thought about, But so I guess there's some things that I haven't shared, but I cannot think of anything. I can't think of anything that I wouldn't or haven't shared that, you know, I've written plenty of posts where I've written them out and I'm like, okay, I cannot put this out there. I don't want my wife to know that I'm so distraught or frustrated or the way that I feel. And so I'll delete it. And then I'll go back and type almost the same post again, because I just can't help but want to be as honest, because for myself, to get it out, and like I had said before, you know, just to help. But, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, I think that's good. Everyone should have some sort of filter and guideline. I just let it go. I'm crazy.
Well, I didn't. I actually didn't have a filter. And then, of course, I haven't, like, written, like, a blog. I mean, like, a diabetes blog in a very long time. So I think those emotions probably are things change. So I kind of, I just look at things differently now. And I see, mm-hmm. like, the conversations that people have around the community. Like, when somebody posts, my A1C was 6.2. And I can see that person come in and say, wow, I wish mine was that good. Mm-hmm. And to me, I don't want it to be competitive, and I don't want someone to try to achieve what I achieved because you don't know how I did it. So
right.
I just try not to – I think just being aware of what everybody else is thinking, usually it doesn't really kind of – I usually don't pay attention to it, but in those instances where it could spark or make people think it's being competitive or someone saying, I wish I could have mine that way, kind of just don't share it just for those reasons. But I think that's just being aware of what people are saying around and what people are saying when people post A1Cs.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so that, the keeping it to yourself was Tuesday's prompt. But Wednesday, in kind of contrast, it was called clean it out. So the idea is that just – what's up?
Every time I hear clean out my closet, I think about, I'm sorry, Mama. I never meant to hurt you. I can't M&M's in my head. I'm sorry. Because I'm cleaning out my closet. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh my gosh, you're so funny. Okay, so what in your diabetes closet needs to be cleaned out? Then the idea is that could either be physical thing, something emotional, maybe something you're holding on to. You know, what is something that you keep that you, or maybe why do you keep it, and why do you need to get rid of it?
Ooh, okay, so it's not something I would say I keep in the closet, because I'm pretty sure that you can probably agree with me on this one. I think one of the hardest things that I have is I spend so much time fighting for everyone else and for what they need that I don't have time to fight for myself. So I think for me, as an advocate, it's sometimes hard to fight for yourself when you've given all you can to fight for others. So it's kind of draining. So when it's time for me to fight for, say, for instance, my CGM, that I just don't have time for it. And it's not that I don't want to, and it's not that I don't know or don't know how to, because I do. It's just taking the time to do it. So luckily I have some awesome friends around the diabetes online community that sends me transmitters and sensors and everything I need and receivers to keep me going. But I promise one day I will make time. But unfortunately, not to say that I neglect myself. I don't. But I take care of myself. But it's just some things take priority, and I'm always putting myself last over everything else.
Yeah, a lot of moms have that problem, don't they? That is definitely a mom thing, to take care of everybody else, you know. And then what happens, like you said, is that not that you don't, like you say, you don't take care of yourself. It's just it's that energy, you know. You're spent, you know. Yikes, yeah, that's rough, man. I can see that. But you know, I know that you get great joy from helping and advocating. It's something that we just talked about. Something that you feel is your purpose, you know.
So what about you? I want to know here. I know yours is probably like, don't make me cry.
No,
ahead.
I won't actually. I won't make you cry, because I my spin on this was I'm a D hoarder. Like I had to kind of come to terms in writing this post that I hoard all of my. I've got pump supplies for a pump that I don't use anymore. I've got all kinds of stuff. I've got meters that I don't have strips for. I don't even know if I could get strips for them. I've got like the weird meter cases. I keep all of them. I have the boxes for them. I've got every like name badge from every diabetes conference I've ever gone to, all the weird little swag things that you pick up at the, in the conference halls, the weird little pencils and keychains. Like I have it all. I keep it all in this. I've got my diabetes drawers. It's like five little, like an organizer, right? That I think we got it at Target or something like that. But originally it was just to keep all of my diabetes supplies in. So then, you know, when they come in, I could pack them away. And then if my family ever needed to help me, they knew where to get everything. So for me, it was about an organization thing. But it turned out to be like, I fill that thing with, I can hardly even open up some of the drawers because there's so much junk in there. And it's like physical stuff. I'm just a hoarder. But I can't help it. Like especially the stuff from like the conventions and things, it's like you know, there's a sentimental value for me, you know. It's like, oh, that was the time that I went to Friends for Life and I got to meet Kim for the first time and I was all excited. Like, it's stuff like that, you know. And I need to get into that thing and clear it out, because there's so much junk in there. But so I've got physical things that I need to deal with, because I'm a total hoarder.
You still keep things from conferences? Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Like, the only things I keep are badges.
I have the name, like the thing that sat in front of me that just says my name on it, like to identify me. I have like pencils and brochures. I have all kinds of stuff. It's crazy.
I think, Scott, we need an intervention, don't we, Scott?
I think so, too. But I can also relate to I can relate to the sentimental thing, too. So, hey everybody.
Hey, that just freaked me out. I'm like, who is she talking to? That's the power of the switchboard operator. She knows.
That's right.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm good. I'm glad I could jump in for the last little bit of the show here, you guys.
Yes, we are very happy about that, too. So right now, as you heard, we're talking about the Clean It Out blog talk, on Blog Talk, the Diaries Blog Week prompt for yesterday. So what were your thoughts on that one?
I'm actually behind on my Blog Week posts. I got something up for Monday and Tuesday, and I didn't get anything out for yesterday. And as far as cleaning out, I was thinking as you were describing that there's so many different levels of that you could take this, right? So on one hand, I have a lot of different old and outdated supplies, not necessarily talking about, like there are some things that expire, like medications, although in a pinch, I would use expired insulin over no insulin. Like if I were faced with a situation of being in a really, really tight situation, and all I had was expired insulin or no insulin, I would take a chance with the expired insulin. But you know, that's like really extreme situations, right? Like don't think you're going to be just fine using expired insulin. But I think a lot of that, in my case, comes from just the uncertainty of having gone through a lot of changes with health insurance over the years, where 1 year they cover everything I need quite fine, and then the next year they cover everything I need absolutely horribly. And so when I can get what I need, I tend to hang on to it, even if I maybe don't use all of it when I'm supposed to. So I have a lot of old supplies that I may or may not necessarily need. But I also think that there are a lot of areas emotionally that I could use some cleaning out. And I kind of think about this in terms of, this is actually something that Ginger Vieira, Ginger Patton now, helped me look at when I was working with her, is when I open up my garage, it's really messy, right? And I look into a dark corner and it looks really scary. But once I get a work light and maybe a flashlight and start kind of looking at that corner and taking bits and pieces of it out and sweeping it and just kind of working through that dark, scary corner, it's not really that bad. It just takes some work to get through there. And I kind of think of the mental areas of my diabetes a lot in that same way, where in my mind I have these dark, scary corners that I'm afraid to look at and I'm afraid to dig into, where if I just spend some time and focus and really dig in and explore what's going on, that they're probably not as bad or as scary as I think. And I think I've got a lot of areas I could clean out there too. So that was a really long-winded and we took a lot of tangents onto that question, but that's what came to mind, and who knows if I'll actually write about that when I sit down to write my post for yesterday on that.
Well, that's all right. I mean, that's kind of what we figured. We just, you know, since we're going through the prompts, I figure we should, you know, talk about the ones that we either wrote about or have passed, and then, you know, and if we didn't write, then we could just talk about them here, but I think you're all right. You're all good. You know, it's funny that when you started talking about the supplies, one thing, and this is the problem with being a D hoarder, is one of, you know, because I have to justify keeping all this stuff, is not only could I possibly need it, but what if someone else needs it? Like, far be it for me to not be there for my fellow diabetic that needs some, I don't know, whatever I've got. Like, I feel like, well, I can't get rid of this, or maybe I'll just help, you know, just someone may need it, and then, you know, someone might be visiting Disneyland and need an infusion set for a pump that I don't use anymore, but maybe I can help them. You know, it's like, but that doesn't make any sense. But this is exactly why, you know, there should be a show on TLC called D Hoarders, and I'd be on it the first episode.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to Scott. As I say, I was listening to Scott talk about using old insulin. I still have, like, my last bottle of metformin. That's kind of like my last, me remembering or, you know, before my pancreas said kapook. So I still have that. And it's funny because I was sitting there thinking, I was like, I wonder if this stuff is still good, right? Not that I'm going to take it, but I'm just curious. Because seriously, it's just sitting underneath my bathroom cabinet, like it's supposed to be there. But I think it's like a reminder that I had a pancreas that used to work. And then it just died.
So you're holding it or seeing it, so that holds some kind of a almost a sentimental or emotional value to you. I think there's a lot of validity in that. That's an interesting subject.
Yeah, I should probably blog about it.
Well, okay, so not to change the subject, but this is a ba-dum-bum. The topic for today is changes. So we're talking about, I know, like that, how was that for a segue, right? I'm almost a pro at this now. So the idea is to talk about changes in one of two ways. Either talk about what you'd most like to see change about diabetes in any way. It could be like management tools or like new whatever, medicine or stuff like that. Or reflect back on some change that you or a loved one has seen or been through since being diagnosed. That's kind of where that prompt is with changes. So, Charisse, I'll lob this one to you first if you have an answer.
So my answer would be changes. So I'm not going to take it from a personal standpoint, but I will take it from just diabetes overall. I would like to see more education because, to me, health literacy is lacking, especially when it comes to diabetes. I mean, even, you know, the most educated person still doesn't understand how it works. So I think health literacy, to see more information out there about diabetes, the right information, both from patients and also from HCPs, that would be nice. Another thing that I would like to see is more access to insulin, not even just access, but cost-wise, for insulin, tech devices, because there are a lot of people out there that want when I hear people still using MPH because they can't afford, you know, the Novolog or Apedra, it kind of drives me nuts. So I would love to see people have access and cost for that. I would also like to see more healthcare professionals actually offline collaborate and work with more patients to figure out more non-traditional ways to communicate with their patients to help them not just, you know, with their diabetes, but the psychosocial support about it. So, I mean, I could go on and on and on. So this is a soapbox, and I'm going to go ahead and talk to Scott. Scott, your turn.
Wow. I mean, yeah, those are all really great and really big and something I think we should definitely, the example that I have in mind feels really small right now after listening to all of those big examples, but I think it's actually, it actually balances out quite nicely because I don't think the world can handle so many big things all at the same time. So I'm gonna go ahead and not feel silly about this one, but I just want some smarter devices and tools. So this is an example, not necessarily related to the diabetes world, but it fits in. I think you guys will understand. So I'm traveling today, and I checked into the hotel, and I had some time to get in a workout. So I went down to the fitness center and I jump on the treadmill and start programming in a run, and it asks me my weight, right? And it just struck me as odd because I'm standing on it.
Right, that's how scales work.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that's kind of a funny example. Like, come on, you know, like,
right.
I'm standing on you, and I have to put my weight in. That just seems kind of ridiculous. And so, like, let's just be smarter about the things that we're doing with all these devices we interact with. That's what I would like to see changed.
So, like,
how about you?
I love that.
That was good. So my take on this one is the power of numbers. This is what the first thing I thought of is I just cannot stand the way that numbers have such power over us as people with diabetes. And I know that we have to know what our numbers are, our A1C and our blood sugar and all that. I understand that that's data that is important. But like you said earlier, Sharice, it's just data. That's all that's all it is. It's not who you are. It's not if you're a good patient or a bad patient. And have you guys ever check your blood sugar around somebody who doesn't have diabetes? And you go, oh man, like it's not, some crazy high or something. And they'll go, well, what's it supposed to be? Like, what is the number supposed to be, you know? And it's like, that's exactly it. That's the thing. It's like, we always think about what it's supposed to be. And the thing is, and Scott, you've heard me say this a bunch of times, the only bad number is the one you don't know. The only bad A1C is the one you don't know. Like, you should pat yourself on the back every time you go to a doctor appointment or get your labs done or, you know, check your blood sugar. Like, that is the real test, you know, like if you want to grade yourself on something, it should be checking your blood, not about what the number is at the end. That's just the data. You shouldn't beat yourself up for that. We need to check. So if we see a number that's over 300 and it instantly makes us feel like a bad person and makes us not want to go to the doctor because now our A1C was going to be high and we're going to be ridiculed and yelled at for, you know, then you're not going to go. I mean, that's why I spent years without going to the doctor, because I didn't want to deal with that. I'm only hurting myself, right? But it doesn't matter at that point, because you just feel like those numbers are just like a dark cloud over you all the time. And I just wish that the focus would not be on the numbers, but on, you know, doing what we need to do, checking our blood, getting our A1C done, going to the doctor, And then the data is just what we use to be healthy, to make the decisions we need to make. But not so many people, you know, that's a bad number. That's a, that your A1C is awesome. That's so great. It's like you were saying, Sharice, I had a 7.0 A1C. My doctor, she had just gone through the riot act with me because my blood sugars for the past few weeks had been from 400 to 40, like all over the place. She's saying, your blood sugar should not be this out of control. Here I am trying to do everything I can, but my A1C was 7.0. And she wanted to high-five me because she said, oh, that's awesome, which makes no sense. You know, and it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it made zero sense to me. And still, that was the last time I saw that doctor, by the way. But it's just that it's not, the numbers are just the data. They're not, it doesn't make you a better or worse person. It's just, it's where you are. And then from there you make the decision I need to take a little more insulin. Nope, I need more glucose. I wish that we would get past that, because so many people avoid their labs, avoid blood checks, you know, avoid pricking their finger, all of it, because of numbers. And it just should not, I don't know. That's my thing. It's a little thing, but I think it makes a big difference. So anyway, there you go. I'll step down off of the soapbox, because I get frustrated about that. So.
I love the soapbox. The passion.
That's it.
Scott,
you're
that's always been.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's always been one of my favorite lines or approaches of yours, George, is that it's not, you know, that the number, it's not the numbers, it's the numbers you don't know. And that's always, I've always loved that from you.
Yeah. Well, so you're traveling, Scott. Where are you, and where can you tell us where you're going? Is it like a secret trip or what?
No, I don't think it's a secret anyway. I am in the New Jersey area on behalf of BD or Benetton Dixon. And whenever I say that, I need to also add that they have they're covering my travel costs and associated expenses. I just arrived, so I don't have any real details around what the meeting is. There are about 10 of us from the different social media spaces that are attending a day-long meeting with BD tomorrow to learn more about BD. And you know, I don't know if either of you saw a recent press release about the newly approved infusion set, so I'm sure we're going to learn some about that. I'm actually really excited to hear about that, and as well as many more things on the agenda. So at this point, I really don't know how much I should say or can say, and like I say, I just arrived, so I think I'll leave it at that at this point.
Very cool.
So you could fill us in next week.
Yes, absolutely. I would love to do that.
Well, I know we're getting down the wire here, but I just feel like we should just mention the last few topics from Diabetes Blog Week. Since these haven't happened, I would hate for us to get, you know, I want to be able to write about something. So if I talk about it, I don't want anything to write about. But tomorrow is it's Foods on Friday is what tomorrow's post is. So it's talking. It says to you, write a post documenting what you eat or, you know, recipes or ideal meals and stuff like that. So recipe stuff. And Saturday, favorites and motivations. So blog posts that maybe you've written before that is like a favorite or something that happened in your life that was really motivating to you, something like that would be kind of what you're looking for there. And then Sunday is kind of cool. It's going to be continuing connections. So that is looking for you to write about another blog that you found, maybe through Diabetes Blog Week or some other way, someone new. Maybe, you know, it's tough. This community has grown so much and is continuing to grow, which is awesome. But sometimes it's hard to keep up with everything. And so, you know, if there's someone that you've found that's kind of cool or someone new, what a great thing to do to be able to share their blog and help make this community a little bit smaller by, you know, introducing one another. So that's kind of cool. There's also what's very cool is Karen always has a couple of wild cards topics. So if maybe one of these doesn't work for you, you don't have anything to write on. One of them, Scott, and I thought about you with this one, is crazy stories. So, like, write your, like, three different crazy D-related stories. Now, I guess, and I thought, the first thing I thought of is all the kind of the shenanigans that we've got ourselves into. They're not necessarily diabetes-related, but I figure since we're both there, I should probably, you know, that probably makes it all right. So that may be one.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I was going to say, does all of mine include you?
That's scary. And then the last one is the last wild card is diabetes personified. So, like, you know, what would your – if your diabetes was a person, what would they be like kind of thing? So that's it, though. So Karen is awesome, and I'm so thankful that she is still doing this and so many people involved. And it's good stuff, man. Diabetes Blog Week is – I always look forward to it.
Me too. It's funny – so when you mentioned the crazy stories about diabetes, it makes me think about that time we went to the art gallery and it was you and Manny, Jamie, and myself, and Dino, and he ran out of insulin.
Yes, that's right.
You remember that?
I forgot. It just hit me right now about that. Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. That's a good one, Charisse.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
That was a good one. I'll have, okay. I'll have to use that one. I'll probably use it tomorrow because I'm not going to write about everything I eat tomorrow. That does not sound like a good post. Tomorrow might be a good day for that wild card, but that's a great story. I will definitely have to share that one. So that's very cool. Well, geez,
it's 10 o'clock.
I know. I was just, well, it's 7, but yeah. It's 10 for you guys. It's only 7
it's
for me.
It's 7 o'clock on the dot. I'm in my drop top. Close out the show, Joy.
All right, well, how can I? Oh, man, that's hard to top of that. But we do want to thank everyone for listening and participating in DSMA Live tonight. Remember, DSMA Live is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. Visit DSMALive.org to listen to archived shows, read show notes, and check the schedule of events for upcoming shows. You can also subscribe to the podcast by searching DSMA Live in the iTunes store. Tomorrow is Friday, so be sure and wear blue for Blue Fridays. And until next Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, we'd like to wish you all a very happy and healthy week. Good night.